Our speaker tonight is Frank Conley. I've known Frank a number of years, and I remember years ago when I first heard Frank lead and I was new in AA, he led the Newberg group, and we met at St. Catherine's Church then, and he didn't talk about some of the things he did helping drunks. But an old-timer by the name of Billy Hughes told me, well, he used to grab a hold of drunks and drive them around all day in a truck. He had a company truck he had, and he helps guys that way. And over the years, I've known what Frank has done. He has stayed sober for a number of years, 52 years, I believe, and he's helped drunks. And that's what AA is all about, one drunk helping another drunk. And Frank has done this for 52 years. It's all yours, Frank.
I open my meeting with a prayer, silent prayer, for the people that helped me when I was clowning with the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And these people never give up on me. And I took them to the rolls. And the last two of them men were Eddie Roach and Joe Stover. Now, they're both gone ahead of me. And as most of them other people are, too, gone ahead of me. But Joe lived next door to me. And I and the priest and my brothers and the boss at work made many calls to the AA office for Frank Conley. And George O'Hara would get the call down to the central office, and he'd turn it over to one of the groups in the neighborhood on the west side, and the Gordon Quirks group got the last call on me and Joe. So I went on it drunk, and I called Joe's house, and I said, "Dorothy, is Joe there?" And she said, "Don't call her no more. He was bad enough before he met you." I was first introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous in December of 1946. I walked out of a saloon on the west side of Cleveland, and two guys come over to the car. And they said, "We got an AA club on West 65th in Detroit. And a lot of guys your age are going there." And one was Darby Warden, the other was Stanton McDonald. And I told them I was going back to work Monday at the brewery. And they said, "Well, you're not discharged yet." I said, "That's all right. I got to get them. My brothers can live on 5220. My other brothers that came out ahead of me. And they all had short business on the side. Billy had an insurance business. He said since he was a kid. And he could live on that 5220, but I had no way he could make it. And so I went back to the brewery, and they had that AA meeting at 65th in Detroit. And a lot of guys my age coming in there went to that meeting, that club up there. And stay sober till the day they die. So 52 years is nothing compared to what them people went through. I knew about alcoholism and I knew about AA before I took my first drink of AA, of alcohol. And I took that too. But anyway, I knew the guys that come out of the weeds. And they were sober, and they went back to their families. And for years, I grew up with them kids, and their father was never around. But these guys come out of there, and some of them got drafted in the service, and went in the service, and come back, and went to AA. So I'm back at Standard Brewery in December of 1946, and of course I got to be a helper now because the drivers are all back. And I was driving a truck for them when I was 16, 17 years old, because there was nobody else around. And they used to tell me, if you get caught, you're on your own, you know. Just tell them you're 21, that's why you're a big kid. And so I worked there, I went as a helper, and I worked at Standard Brewery, go back maybe 6 years or so, and then I got married, and I married an Italian girl. And you know, we're married 60 years. And if Marty wasn't here, I'd tell you, I'd give her all these wonderful years. See, but Marty knows. He knows the distance. He knows the distance that went between things. So I drank and had trouble. And that was it. I drank and had trouble. That's the only thing I did. I didn't do nothing else. I thought that's there. So anyway, I got to watch myself. But anyway, I drank at the brewery. And I got a route downtown Cleveland, and then I got married. I had that route about a year before we got married. And her family figured if I got away from the brewery, there wouldn't be so many policemen coming up that porch and saying, "You, Frank Connelly here? Can we leave him here?" And they leave me there. I had a brother, a policeman. I crucified my brother Bernie. If I was in trouble and they'd say, "You Bernie Connelly's brother?" I'd say, "Yes, sir." If I was in trouble. And if I wasn't in trouble, well, then we had to argue a little bit. But he always got me out. And one night, Billy and I got arrested in different places in town. And they left Billy in there. And I said to my mother, "How come you left Billy in there and they got me out?" They said, "Well, I don't know, your brothers think that maybe he'll learn something. They wouldn't put you in because you ain't going to learn nothing." So they used to get me out. And as being around AA, and that's what I was, from that day I was offered it until the day I sobered up, I was around AA. And I found a man here tonight that my oldest brother's brother-in-law was Bill Hardy. And my brother would say to him, "Why don't you help Frankie?" And he said, "Everybody on the west side of Cleveland tried to help him. And he don't want it." I did want it when I was sick. And he said, "But I got a friend of mine, he'll go after anybody." And that was Clarence Snyder. And he'd come to my house, we lived in an apartment on the west side then. And I had messed up the steps coming up again. And when we paid the rent, the landlady would give you a big hooker, see? And I'd say, "Not me, I'm not drinking." 2 days later, I'd come heaving up them back steps, you know. And he said to me, "Are you going to clean that mess up?" And I said, "I can't clean it up, I'll get sick again." And he said, "No wonder you can't accept AA. Everybody's doing something for you, but you're not trying nothing yourself." And he says, "You'll never make it with your attitude." And I had a lot of people help me. There was a guy named Skid Stanton. We used to see Skids on the way to, we'd all walk to church in them days. We were married at St. Coleman's on the west side. And we'd all walk up to church. And when we walk up to church, Skids would be across the street and he'd yell, "Frankie, get in the ball game. Nobody's going to hit one that far." The guy would say, "You're still playing ball?" I'd say, "Lou is a better ball player than me. Lou and I are the only ones left to 10. And we bury over half of them with cancer. And Lou's a nun." And I got diabetes not so long ago. I said, "I'm the only one in the whole clan that ever had diabetes, Lou." And she said, "None of your brothers or cousins lived as old as you. Well, that's why you got it. But I don't take it. I take it seriously because I know what it can do." But anyway, these people tried to help me. Skids tried to help me. Caught me on the steps going up to the church. He'd say, "You're playing right field with a catcher's mitt." People would say, "How can you take that off him?" I says, "Hey, I know what he means. He means well." There are a couple of guys that used to take people down to St. Thomas in Akron and before Rosary Hall. They picked me up. I'm driving a beer truck for Aaron Brew. And they picked me up at night and they told my mother, is he home yet? And she said, yeah, but he's getting dressed. He's going to get out. And they said, we're right in the neighborhood, so we'll pick him up. And they put me in the back seat of the car with this guy who was shaken to death. And I've seen a lot of it. And they take me down to Akron. And that's where I met Dr. Bob. And he'd say, hey, kid, they kidnapped you again, huh? I said, yeah. I said, I got to be nice to them, because they told me if I'm not nice, they're going to have to walk home, and that's a long walk. But two men continued to try to help me. And then Joe and I got together. We made the call at Gordon Square Group. Got it. They said, who are we going to send after Connolly again? And they said, send Stovering. He's just like him. And Joe lived next door. He rented next door. And I was now living with my in-laws. And in this period of time, we moved many times. I had my kids in the car the other day and went by 65th in Detroit. And I said, there's the first house your mother and I lived in. We paid $38 a month rent. When I start drinking, after my pledge, you know, to get married in the Catholic Church, I had to take a pledge. Well, I took pledges since I was a kid, and my mother she'd pray and she'd be so happy that I'm taking another pledge, even though I never held them. And so we went to the priest up at St. Coleman's, and I told him how a pledge works. And 6 or 7 months later, I went to him and I said, I'm going to drink. And he said, you can't drink, you're on the pledge. And I says, yeah, but I won't be bad like I was. And he says, Frankie, I put other guys with pledges, and they told me really how it works, not your way of telling me how it works. And so I drank. And then I had drinking trouble. And the same thing. Right back to the same thing. And then I was still with Standard Brewery, and then a couple of years, about a year or so later, 2 years maybe, I went to the bosses and I said, I have to quit. But I got a job. And they says, well, you know people, you'll have a job. You know the street. Where are you going to work? And I said, Dandy Pretzel. And he said, they don't have a keg dock at Dandy Pretzel. And I didn't take the job. I'm going to stay at the brewery. I've been here since I was a kid. And about 3 years later, I went to him again and I said, I got to leave. The drinking is real bad. And they said to me, where are you going to work? And I said, Bell Vernon Milk. They said, drink all the milk you can, but don't come back here. It's a heck of a thing to drink yourself out of an Irish brewery, you know. But I went to work at Bell Vernon. And Bell Vernon at the time didn't mind their own drunks. They had a lot of their own drunks. They didn't mind them, but they sure didn't want to get a new one. So they told me, look for a job. We won't let you go. Look for a job. You'll be able to get it. And my brother Billy would go out and get two jobs. Billy flew for the Navy during World War II. And Billy was able to get jobs, but he still had that little business. And he'd go out and get two jobs. My mother would send him out and get two. And I'd take one, usually a sales job. And he'd take something else for a little while and then drop it and go right back to his home. But I went to Sarah's Cigars, selling cigars to Andy. And Sarah said, I hired Billy. He knew the family. And he said, I said, Billy got this other job. And my mother, and he knew my mother said I should come and do this job. And I lasted about 2 years there. And at the end of 2 years, he used to go to Turn Grind and he'd get bonuses out. He'd give me a good bonus. And Jake Rosenberg, I don't know if any of you siders remember Jake. that Jake was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. He's Jewish. He was an atheist. He died sober. And Jake came to me and he said, how about selling bulk special cigars with me? Nickel cigars, big box. And I said, gee, Jake, I just got my best bonus. He said, he always gives you that a week before he fired you. So if you go to work for me, he would still use his warehouse for our cigars. And I hustled with Jake for about 2 years. And then I used to work him into the neighborhood by Dandy Pretzel. And one day that sales manager was in the hospital, Elmo was in the hospital sick, and the assistant said to me, I can hire you starting Monday if you want. Don't throw up the guy you're with though. I said, give me 2 weeks, you'll get somebody else in 2 weeks. And I went to work there, and there about a year, and Elmo was running one of the big meetings, and he was standing up giving the thing, and he seen me out there, and he said, how'd you get in? And I said, you were sick in the hospital and they needed help. And I worked there for 29 years. But I drank a lot in them years. It was a drinker's paradise. We worked 4 days a week. Monday, Tuesday, we were off. Wednesday, we worked. Thursday, Friday, we were off the weekend. And we drank a lot. And with everybody. We just drank. And I knew the beer drivers. And I'd meet them when I was on the milk truck. I'd meet the beer drivers and they'd give me some beer and we'd put it in the freezers. And sometimes I'd forget it in there. And it was a nice one I'd get back. But, or we'd meet them and we'd go drink in a field. There were a lot of fields around in that day. And it was just a headache. Just a headache with everybody around me, my family. My mother was alive, my father had passed on. In that period of time, my mother was alive. And my brother Bernie took care of things at her house with her. He was a policeman. He took care of his brother too. A real headache. What if I had a brother like that, he never would have got the care I got. He'd say, he's my brother. Okay. But anyway, I drank and had trouble again at the Dandy Pretzel. And Elmo told me one day, before he got in this kind of trouble, he said to me one day, hey Conley, I've seen you, I drank with you when you cut out beer downtown. I drank with you on East 9th and all them places. And if you drink here on that truck, one time, leave the truck somewhere, anywhere you want, but don't come in to this plant. This man fired me 6 times and hired me back. The last time he hired me back, I went to my brothers, and I said they'd give me the route in the old neighborhood where we grew up. And my brother said to me, if Conley's owned that place, we wouldn't have hired you back. We're in trouble. We can't take it no more. So I said, well, I owe most every saloonkeeper on the lower west side of Cleveland. So Bernie said, meet me on Saturday. I'll go to the bank and get some money. We'll pay him off. And we went to most of the Irish places. They said, Bernie, don't waste your money on him. And Bernie said, it's my money. He's got 5 brothers, you know. And we went to Drugan's, which is a real nice, clean place on the west side of Cleveland. It's probably a punch palace, but it was, you know, a nice place to drink in. And we went in there, and May said, Bernie, don't waste your money on him. If he stays sober till St. Patrick's Day, he can give us a potato chip for our party. Nobody, no. And I didn't take no pledge. And I come back to Alcoholics Anonymous. And we went back to 24 hour. We stood 24 hour. I'm sobering, living right next door to me. And he'd call me up and he'd say, you going to the meeting tonight? I said, I'll meet you there. Well, he knew I wanted to drink. And he probably did too, so. And we went after each other many times. Him and Roach went after me one time downtown Cleveland where I fell over years ago. And they walked into a bar and they said, Frank Conley in here. And the saloon keeper said, if he walks in that door, I'll kill him. I've taken too much from him. He comes here and causes a lot of trouble. And Lois played football for the Cleveland Rams. And they only paid him when he showed up. And we went behind the bar with the guy and told him what he'd do with that son. But anyway, the family there was a close family to me. And we went and I met while that drunk evening. So I told him, I said, you know, I'm that guy in the big book that I just can't get honest enough to stay sober. And they were sober then. Roach was probably sober 3 years at the time, and he helped us a lot. Eddie helped Joe and I an awful lot. And sobering was probably 2 weeks or whatever it was. You know, guys that go back drinking after so many months, we never got that much. We never got a week. One time we were walking into Rosary Hall, and we used to up the Rosary Hall a lot. Even though we drank, we wouldn't mind our own business. We never got that. And this one, Sister Ignatia would say, come back. One of these days, they're going to vote you, going to do something about it. And the guys with a year or two, they'd say, how long are you two clowns sober now? And they'd say, and we'd say a week. So we're inside, every good a year, kind of, I'm going to sucker punch him. But the thing is that, not to our knowledge, I went on another drunk. I went on another one. They come after me. Roach, and he dropped him off, sobering at his house. He went in the front door, out the back door, and that's when he drank. And I called the house at that time, and Dorothy told us that. And Eddie, I called Eddie, and I said, Eddie, I'm down Lower West Side, and I'm sick. He said, I'll meet you at your brother's, my oldest brother. And I said, I'm too sick to make it. He said, then you don't want to do anything about your drinking. I'll see you there. I'd go to my brother's, a guy named Les Steele, who was passing way ahead of us. Les Steele met me at AA meetings, and he'd say to me, Frankie, I'd never seen you drink. How'd you get here? I said, well, I didn't have tight shoes. That's why I'm here. I said, I'd go with drink. And the reason you didn't see me drink at family parties, and we had a lot of parties in our family. Before the war, they were all no drinking, and the rosary usually on Friday night. And I said, the reason you never see me drink, because Marianne takes me up to Mally's as soon as I get there. And she says, we'll have two chocolate malts. And then she said, give me two to go. And on the way back to the house, she'd say, if you want to drink, drink them chocolate malts. Don't mess up our party. I wasn't allowed to drink with my family. But the thing, I respected my brothers and sisters if I didn't take a drink of alcohol. And then I'd go home at night, and I'd go out drinking after they wouldn't let me drink. And I'd throw rocks at Jeff's house. And they'd call a cab, and he'd say to his wife, get up and get that kid something to eat. And he'd say, here's some money, give him some money, because I don't want to see him no more. And the cab will be pulling up, and you can get in the cab and get out of here. And he told me, don't come back. And the cab would pull up, and I'd go start my car, and it wouldn't start. And that was one of my nephew's jobs, to climb out the window by his place and get that distributor cap. And I never knew it till I was sober. But they protected me. There was some way I was going to do something that they wouldn't be able to protect me. I haven't hurt somebody. And you know, I went into Rosary Hall. Joe and Eddie put me in Rosary Hall. And I stayed there 5 days as we stayed in the. And I came out, Sister Ignatia called me over, and she says, Frankie, she said, you wasted their time and your time out there. A lot of them people know your brothers and sisters, and they're willing to go out of their way to help you. And she said, here's the book, Confidence in God. And I had it with me. Almost, I carried it almost all over. It's pretty well ripped up, but I use it a lot, and I left it out to people, and but Anyway, she gave me that book, and I said to her, "Where's my Sacred Heart badge?" Because she used to give Sacred Heart badges out. If you wanted to drink, call her before you drank, give that back to her. And some people did. Some people did that. And she said, "I don't waste them on people like you. You're going to be drunk in a week." That nasty old man, you know. I fixed her. I joined Edgewater Yacht Club. And that was good. And then I come out on June 28th, 1956. And I joined Edgewater Yacht Club on the 4th of July. I'm the only member without a boat. I drove my car off the pier, Edgewater Yacht Club pier. You know, all them boats down there around that, you never get in them days, but I got 13 feet of water. The Lord didn't want me that night. There's no doubt about it. A couple of kids were sleeping on the boat, watching fireworks. They rolled over to me. I got out the window. I had one window open. It was hot that day. I rolled over there and I climbed in their car, and the police came. They said, "We'll take you home, thank you." And they took me home. And the one policeman said to me, "Could I have my jacket back?" And I, wise guy me, I tore that, you know. And the other was Eddie Cowran. Eddie took me home many times. In fact, Jimmy Hogan kissed me. He said, "You know, you should have one of the green jackets for retired policemen." You were in Eddie Cowran's car more than he was. But anyway, drank again. I was down there and I was watching the boat with my brother. Bernie called Billy and he said, "You better call Clary and see if he's got Frankie's insurance. And if he does, you tell him that I gave you a check a certain amount of months ago to pay for it and you forgot to pay it." And he called him, and Jack Clary says, "Yeah, I got it. He's covered, don't worry about nothing." And him and Billy met, and he gave him the check. And then Bernie called him, and he says, "You got Frankie's insurance?" He says, "Yeah, we've got a big wrecker down there, because his car's in the water." And he says, "Don't worry, he's covered." But anyway, that's how it was in them days. And you know, we'd go to AA off and on. And we walk in these meetings, and they'd always say, "Good to see you." I was going to the Blessed Sacrament group a lot. There was a guy named Jack Burns who used to go up there. He was a policeman, too. And he used to go after me every once in a while. Him and another guy, Johnny Garvin, they were going to put me in the county jail under a phony name. And so my brothers wouldn't get me out. And they said, they were going to tell Ann where I was at, or where I was going. And I jumped out of the car on 65th and Detroit, or 65th and Bridge, and I got picked up three times the same night by the same wagon, the wagon in them days. And I'd beg them, I'd beg these guys, "You know my brother, you know this, stay home if we take you home this time." "Okay." And they're driving by 25th and Franklin to their own patch, and the one says, "Hey, that's Frank Conley at the corner." How I got there, I don't know. And no knowledge. But you know that, I'm just playing with a wet brain. And I've seen wet brains. I've seen people with wet brains. And I'll tell you, you don't see it much anymore, but I've seen it. I've seen good people with wet brains. And they just took one drunk too much. And I got a guy drinking now that I've been working with for 7 years. So that means I ain't too good of a sponsor. But anyway, he said to me the other night, he says, "Don't bother me, Frank." I said, "I tell you, don't call the house when you're drinking." And he said to me, "They never give up on you, did they?" Put it right back in my package. And I used to pick up guys like in the tater chip truck. And I come in at night, the boss would say, "Let me see your can tops. How many of them are dinner? Don't put them back in the thing." And I'd pick them up on the street. And I wouldn't get by them a lunch. I'd let them eat potato chips, you know. And there was one guy, One guy was in Rosary Hall. And then out.
What time? Did I talk an hour yet?
No.
You only have two quarters. I ain't been in it.
You haven't drank them yet. You've got time.
I better get in it.
When I leave the meeting, I always call this guy and tell him, can I use your story? And he said, no. Don't do it. But anyway, this guy was in Rosary Hall. And Skids and Johnny Garvin came to the truck, and they said, get down there and talk to them, these guys. Now, in these days, when them older people asked you to do something, you did it. And I went down there that night after work, and I seen Ralph, and I didn't know him. I knew a little bit about him because I seen him in bars when I peddled chips. And he'd always be sleeping. So I told him, I said, man, they finally got you, huh? And he said, mind your own business. He didn't know me. And I started out the door and he said, what did you say to him? And I said, why didn't you do what you were told? I said, they finally got you. I see him in all the bars. I don't know. He said, you're both from the same neighborhood. She was good to me. She was good to me when I was drinking. And I knew her since I was a kid when she used to run the farm for the nuns out in Overland. And my cousin was in the same order. And so I'm working the truck, and I couldn't find my keys. So I went back in the Ella Madden's beverage shop. I used to always sit and talk with her a little bit. She grew up with my oldest brother. And I said to her, did I lose my keys in here? And she'd say, no. And we looked over. And she said, Frankie, the guy standing against the pole over there where Cooney's bar used to be. I seen him in your truck. I don't know who he is, though. And I walked over to him, and I said, Eddie Sullivan. I said, Eddie, you got my keys? He said, yeah. Next time you don't do what you tell us, what we tell you to do, and don't be a wise guy, they said, we'll throw them in the sewer. And they would have. There's no doubt about it in my mind. And I went down to see Ralph that night, and he was like my long-lost brother. They told him I was a potato chip man on the Lorraine Street. And if he had went back drinking and wanted openers, I'd be there for him. And Ralph went back drinking. And he'd come with me with a can of paint. He'd say, you buy this off me for a half a buck. I'd say, no, here's 50 cents. You want a buck? No. He said, if I give me a buck, I'll never pay you back. And Ralph went out drinking many times in this period of time. And then he came to AA. He stayed 14 months. And then he worked for a friend of ours selling Christmas trees. And the guy said to him, now that we're both sober, I know I can pay you the money. And that guy carried Ralph home that night. I carried him the second night. I didn't carry him. I got him there. And his wife used to say, new wife. She used to say to him, Ralphie, I know one beer wouldn't hurt you. She didn't say that no more. And then I took him home the last time. And then he stood up and commented at a meeting not so long ago. And he says, you know, when Frank took me home the last time, he took me to all the girly places. Because he ain't been there. And I said, I'm paying for it. I said, you didn't finish the comment. And he said, that's right. He said, that would put me in bad shape. Yeah. But anyway, we went to his place, and the guy said, don't serve that man. Amen. Ralph, by the time I start laughing, he said, you either. I said, just give me a bag of beer. So you people go get 6 packs, 12 packs. We just put them the money they could get into a bag. But anyway, Ralph hasn't had a drink since then. And this is part of my life. They are part of my life. And they're a lot of help to me today. I come to the East Side and sponsor a few people out here. You know, one was Bud Krause. I don't know if there's no Bud in the Bedford area. And I sponsored him for 2 weeks, and then he fired me. So I sent a card to him on this anniversary. It was sort of a different card. I usually send their anniversary cards out. I usually my Christmas cards, and I just cross off Christmas. send them up usually that way. But I bought him a card. And when he called yesterday, I thought he was mad about it. I thought, oh, Bud's going to be really screaming. And he said, hey, I really enjoyed that card. He said, so different than anybody I know you bought. It's nothing that you found around the house. So AA works. We heard the steps read and we heard the traditions work. And they're a big part of my life. AA works if you work at it. Anybody like me and Joe, and of course Joe's dead, and I spent a lot of time on him. He was so sick. Boy, he was sick. He was really sick. And Eddie, his kids are around 8 today, and I stay close with them. Pat Flaherty's went ahead of me also. I always say that Tommy Stanton, another AD, but a different one, he was a fireman, this guy. I said, that was 88, but it was a fireman, was it? But it was 88, it was a piano player. In the first years of the war, the shipyard was going. And Tommy would be sent by his aunt for his classic piano lessons. And we trapped him in the alley behind Barry's saloon. Flores and myself and Dick Dorsey, they're all gone. And we'd take him in and he'd play the piano. And he'd say, Duke, can I have a beer now? And I'd say, on the way home, we'll just get a big bag of beer and we'll give you plenty on the way home. But he played the piano and the beers come over that piano like unbelievable. And we were kids. And there's good bows in life. You take what's here. The gift has been given to us. It's been a gift of Alcoholics Anonymous. Those people that first started it, I had the privilege of knowing both of them. Sister Ignatia, one day, we're having a few beers at this time, and I'm up at Rosary Hall upstairs in nurse's quarters. They used to have a meeting on Friday night. And Eddie Kligo walks down the aisle with the guy. And he said, there he is there. And this man come over to me, and I was sitting with Tommy, or Jackie Cobain. And he came over to me and introduced himself. He said, my name is Bill Wilson. And I'm leading this meeting tonight. But the sister thinks maybe the miracle of AA will happen tonight. And I knew what he meant. And he said, I can't talk that long because I got to lead that meeting. After the meeting, we'll have a little chat. He said, okay, that sounds good. And he led his meeting, it's the same as you read it in the book. And he led his meeting, and I said to Jackie Cobain, I got to go take him to the bathroom. And he said that. And I went up there, and I went on my way. And he come back, he said to Jackie, where's Conley? He said, probably in a saloon on the west side of Cleveland by now. Well, he's home in bed. He got to go to work tomorrow. And he took a duffy on him. So he went to Sister Ignatia and he said, Sister, what's a duffy? He said, you listen to me, I should go crazy. He took off on you. But I was one of the lucky ones that God turned for me and offered me the Alcoholics Anonymous maybe one more time. And we both accepted it at that time. Sober and had one more day than me. And he died. I still give this kid the coin because he's with me. And his wife will say, I'll call and the kids will say, Uncle Frank, send the coin. Yeah, answer. And I said, why don't you let me get him one of the nice ones like Chisholm got me one year. And she said, you give him that buck and a quarter one. Anything else he'll think he got from somebody else. So let's say the Lord's Prayer.